You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
No, I don't want you to play the trailer for It. Come on. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
I'm excited about the Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah. Two. October 27th?
I think it's Halloween. Isn't it actually Halloween? Or is it Halloween weekend?
I don't know. I saw the trailer, and I saw them playing Dragon's Lair, and I'm like, okay, I just can't wait. Just for
that. The trailer looks amazing, really.
Yeah.
I was all giddy, and like I was actually like giggling a little. I found myself giggling. I'm like, what am I doing? This I'm like, oh boy. It's gonna be so good. Yeah. Anyway.
Boy. It sounded like that. It sounded like Flounder from Animal House.
Oh boy. Okay. All shall right. Shall we start?
I think we should start.
Yeah.
We should start.
Is Rose running this one?
No, you are.
Ha, be that way. All right.
Okay.
This is 90-something podcast.
I know it sounds mental, but sometimes I have more fun vegging out than when I go partying. Maybe because my party clothes are so binding.
You're an idiot.
I'll show you. Starting tomorrow, you'll see I am just as sane as anybody.
But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Smelly cat, smelly cat. What are they feeding you?
Mentos, the fresh maker.
See, I remember to say my name first. Yay, me. And,
you.
And I've got my great friends that are online going to be talking about 1990s TV shows. So I've got Scott. Say hi, Scott.
Yes, hello. Hello.
And I've got Rose.
Hi, everybody.
So this is another saga in the Banzai Retro Club. We're moving another step forward, and this gives us episode 3, because we've done 70-something, 80-something, and now we're doing 90-something. What this is going to be is, there's a method to our madness. If you've listened to episodes 1 and 2, you know that 70-something was about movies. 80-something was about music, wasn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. I have yet to hear it, so I'm excited about that.
I'm like down to the last 10 minutes of editing, and I'll be putting it online for you.
Outstanding. Cool. And then 90-something, we're doing TV. So we're running the Woo-hoo. Gummit.
Gummit.
That's a hey, great gummit. Word. Wow, I got to do a little more scotching. We ran the gamut of our pop culture stuff, being TVs, movies, music, which is probably going to be what you expect to hear the most of from us, even though I think we'll branch into other things. We just have a lot of great topic matter with just covering music, movies, and TV.
I think we might have to go into gaming a little bit here and there, too, for gaming. Some of the classic games. Yes.
Oh! You're talking like
arcade video gaming at arcades, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. Because I actually did some of that in the 90s.
Oh, cool.
And computer gaming, too.
Yes.
You get some Doom in there and talk some Duke Nukem, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, some good stuff there. Good idea.
Yeah.
But back on topic, we're talking about our favorite. These are our favorite 1990s TV shows. Now, obviously, there's a whole decade full of TV stuff to talk about. And as we talked about with the movies, this is something that could definitely spill into many, many episodes. So who knows? Who knows what we're, you know, if we're going to get through just our top three, or if we're going to get through it very quickly and then we'll get through some honorable mentions. But, you know, it's one of these things that it's a topic that keeps giving, because there's a lot of great TV in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. There really was.
Yeah. And so what we do, if you're a first-time listener or a new listener, is each one of us will say what our first choice is, and then we talk about it a little bit, and then the next person goes, gives their first choice, and through until we get through all three. So being that this is the 1990s TV, I think the last time when I was doing the movies thing, Scott got to start, so we're going to start with Rose.
Yay! I gotta hurry up and say what my favorite pick is.
Before anybody else does.
Hold on, let me get my granny glasses. So,
get your readers on.
I'm a readers on. Lord, I can see.
Well, then we're gonna talk some stories.
We're gonna tell some stories now, Sharon's. 90s TV was a strange entity to me. There was a lot of like supernatural weirdness on, and later on in life I became to appreciate some of that, but and not at the time. I wasn't interested in Charmed or any of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer or none of that nonsense. But there were some of the more favorable comedies. I always appreciated comedy, and more so when it is like an ensemble cast and it's not necessarily done live, but like, you know, SNL. And if anybody's familiar with Fridays, that was a TV show that was on Fridays, oddly enough, in the 80s. I think it was like maybe one or two seasons. Never went into syndication. Always pissed me off. That's pretty much where, what's his name? Michael Richards came from that era. But there was a show in the 90s where a lot of people came from it. And not they weren't on the go already, but they all kind of came together under one umbrella.
We got the Gummit and the Together.
I'm just wondering, is Rose We're beveraging?
Yeah, no, I'm drinking water, honestly, unless it's, you know, organized or something. So if anyone's familiar, if anyone's familiar with the TV show In Living Color, the Wayans family, I would say the Wayans brothers, but it was like the whole family pretty much had a hand in that. And you've got some of the best comedians that came out of that. Jim Carrey, I know I said that he was on the go long before that, and Damon Wayans, David Alan Grier, Tommy Davidson. You name it, they were on it. Jamie Foxx started there. Jamie Foxx started in Living Color, and he can make all the movies he wants, but he'll still be Ugly Wanda to me. You know, it was just one of the things, one of the characters that you couldn't ignore it, because that's, you know, it was a guy playing a woman that, you know, her eyes are crossed and her lips are poked out, and it was just too hysterical. Jennifer Lopez came from there. She was a fly girl. And I think Rosie Perez might have been like a choreographer or something. So you had like a lot of really good talent that came out of there. Chris Rock was on there for a while. One of my favorite characters was Calhoun Tubbs, played by David Alan Grier. And he was a blues musician that wrote 13-second songs. Basically, he would have an experience and he'd have a really high-pitched voice and he'd say, yeah, I'm sitting on a curb here and somebody threw me some money and then somebody stole it. Warner wrote a song about it, like, here you go. And he'd be like, I'm sitting on the curb, it's all I stole the money. You know, and it would be like, oh my God, really? That's it? But he had that down, you know. I think he might have been blind too, not really sure, but just really, Homie the Clown, you know, Homie Don't Play That. People are still saying that to this day, Homie Don't Play That. Men's on Film with with Damon Wayans and David Alan Greer. It was just two snaps and a twist, you know. Stuff that is iconic pop culture from that era. Still to this day, are popular. So, you know, my hat's off to everybody involved. I don't know if you guys ever got a chance to see it, but it definitely filled up quite a few hours in my 90s life. One of my go-to shows.
Well, I think this show, or this pick, gets the all fallout Zorro snap in Z formation. Men on Films. Loved that. I think those guys were hilarious.
Yeah.
He's like, we're going to talk about Men on Sports. You know, and then it was like, you know, they would have, you know, the little football, and he like bend over and goes,
yeah,
the blue ball. it was just so tongue-in-cheek, adults, but just hilarious. And then the skit that Jim Carrey did, mocking Vanilla Ice, I bring that up even to this day on YouTube. I just love watching that over and over again. It is hilarious. I loved the show. I loved it being an extension of Saturday Night Live. But, from a different perspective, you know, it wasn't as uptown.
Yeah, because it was on Fox, It just probably had to have a bit more edge to it. Not that SNL didn't have edge, but, you know, and Living Color just took it to the next level.
Right.
Just when you think they could, they would.
Yeah, and then you had the Fly Girls coming in, and they were all hot, you know, and, you know. Exactly. You loved it.
Yeah.
Great pick. Scott, where are you on In Living Color?
You know, I watched it here and there. I wasn't a regular watcher, but I do remember quite a few of the skits. In fact, I just saw one come through, like, it was one of those Facebook groups where they, you know, remember certain things, and they posted the Wanda on the dating game. So it was Wanda on the dating game, and Jim Carrey was the host, and David Alan Greer was one of the guys. I can't remember the other two guys, but man, it was pretty funny. And she, Jamie Foxx as Wanda was just hysterical. But like Jim Carrey,
mm-hmm.
Who knew that he would be as big of a star that he became? He really took off from there. My favorite bit from that show was Jim Carrey as Fire Marshal Bill. Mm-hmm. Could be a potential fire hazard. You know? He's all burnt up. You know, I mean, it was just... It's kind of disturbing, but it's a disturbing comedy, but it was so funny. And he was such a physical actor, you know?
Yeah.
Not really. It's really through his whole body into the whole thing. Yeah. He's always done that. Like in Pet Detective. I almost said Pet Cemetery. He was not in Pet Cemetery.
No.
So anyway, you know, I do have a lot of memories of it. I can still hear the theme song in my head, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In Living Color, you know, and then the dancers come out, and mm-hmm. This is not to be confused with the group Living Color.
No, it is not. Yeah, because they spelled their name with a U. They spelled color the British way with a U.
Yes, they did. They were. I don't know if they were they British, but
I think so.
They might have been. I've never heard them talk, so I can't say.
Well.
So
we can look at that now if you want.
So
I wrote a song about it.
Yeah, that's my take on
Oh, goodness.
You wrote a song about it? Was it a blues song?
Yeah, it was about color. I don't know. Anyway. Couldn't help myself.
So, Dave, what's your take on Living Color? Did you?
Yeah, I already gave my...
You already gave your stuff. So, yeah, sorry.
I was already there, man. Come on. Where were you?
Sorry, I was trying to fix my browser.
Oh, okay. Fix your browser. Oh, that sounds personal.
Yeah. Well, one of my... I don't know. Every once in a while, I use Firefox, and occasionally the window within Firefox will just go black. Like all the content within the window. Not the actual, not like the address or the tabs at the top, just within the window of the
I was using
browser as some sort of like adult connotation, like fix your browser, and you just took it all technical. You like ruined it. I set the ball up for you to spike, and you just dropped it.
Sorry.
Yeah, Ice Man, what's up with that?
I must have been Gaylord Focker.
You milk your kittens later. All right, so. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you could milk a cat. But
Geppetto. I named him Geppetto.
All right, so I'm going on my next pick. Or I'm going on my first pick.
Your first pick?
I am. I'm going to skip over. Scott gets to go next.
That's
make
fine.
Him go last. Be that way. I'm a jerk.
I'm game.
Yeah, and you know, because I wanted to start off with something that was just so iconic for the '90s, so like over the top, popular. Because I appreciated the show and I enjoyed watching it. And when Rose is doing her build up for hers and she talked the ensemble cast, I thought, oh, she's going to take my pick. But as she went a little deeper, then I was like, okay, I'm safe. She's not taking this one. This is the elephant in the room. When you think 90s TV, you got to think Friends.
Oh. I was going to say, gosh, you must be talking about Friends.
Yes, it is. That's the Big Mama Jama TV show. Yes, exactly. And, Rachel, Monica, Phoebe, Chandler... Joey Ross. There you go. I knew it. That surprised even me. actually, the other night, my 16-year-old, she's actually watched all her Friends on Netflix. I actually quizzed her to see if she knew all the actors' names for each of those, and she got 4 out of 6 right.
Good for her.
Yeah, so, you know, that show transcends. Transcends, you know, the time period.
Yeah.
But did she know the name of the coffee shop?
We didn't ask that one. Central Perk, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Perk.
Central Perk.
Yeah.
Yep. So
that's all I know about that show.
You know, and you know, there's so much great comedy out of this TV show. Joey was probably by far the funniest one out of the group. It was his interaction with Chandler. You know, there was this one episode where Joey kept getting air quotes wrong. And, like, he would keep, you know, air quoting the wrong thing. And, like, Chandler's like, you're doing it wrong! You know, it's absolutely hilarious. You know, and I'm air quoting now. Sorry. You know. You know, or when Joey would say something like, it's a moot point. And he goes, no, you mean a moot point. No, it's a moot point. It's what a cow would think. It's like, Joey had such great, you know, Matt LeBlanc did this great thing of just being able to deliver the stupidity that had to be Joey.
Everybody loves the doofus.
Yeah, and
he always
so
loved the
well.
Doofus. There's always something special about the moron of the group that is endearing to everybody for some reason. It's really bizarre. Okay, perfect example, Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan
was the doofus, and everybody loved Gilligan.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, he was the character.
Yeah, so, I mean, Joey's the same character. Well, not, you know, they weren't stranded on an island or anything, but...
But yeah.
No, we get it.
But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's, I mean, overall, this show, I look back at it and go, it was all right. But when I remember when I was watching it, like, on a fairly regular basis, I didn't, like, wait for the next week every week to come out, you know, for the next episode. But I did enjoy the comedy of it. It was very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Joey was funny. Jennifer Aniston is, she was a knockout to me in that.
The fabulous.
Huge crush. I would say huge crush on Jennifer Aniston ever since that.
She just skyrocketed after that.
Mm-hmm. And there was just so many other funny things, like Kathleen Turner being Chandler's dad, who had been, you know, who's a drag queen.
Right. Yeah.
Little weird, quirky little things like that. And then I thought that the names of the episodes were always clever. They always, mm-hmm. everyone said the one where da da da.
Right.
You know, the one where Joey uses air quotes wrong. The one where, you know, whatever happens. And they always have like a topic. I remember always rooting for Ross getting Jennifer, what was her name?
Rachel.
Thank you, Rachel. Mm-hmm. And so you're always rooting for him that it's going to happen for him because, you know, he's kind of, he wasn't like this, you know, drop dead gorgeous guy or whatever you want to call it that would get somebody of her caliber. Like, he was way out of his league when he was getting her, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always kind of rooting for him, especially, you know, not being the drop dead gorgeous guy myself.
He was a quintessential nerdy.
You're rooting for all the other guys that are trying to get that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, not that I know that's so superficial and it's stupid, but it whatever. That's how most of society thinks, anyway. I could go on a tangent now.
No,
no. Thank you. Reel me in, Rose. Reel me in.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, because if you go on one, then I'll have to go on one.
Yeah.
All right, so where are you at with Friends, Rose?
Okay, so Friends was one of those shows that I saw after the fact.
Okay.
Probably one season into its last season. My husband, Richard, at the time, this is like fast forward to 2000s, and he's like, I used to watch this program in Scotland called Friends. And I went, oh, yeah, we got that over here. He goes, you want to watch it? You know, we'd always find something to watch on TV. It was either that or Frasier, and then it was into syndication by then, so we were watching it. And I knew about it, but like I said, I probably knew the theme song more than I knew the actual show because I didn't watch the actual show until later. And immediately, the only person I recognized in the show was, of course, Courtney Cox. But the rest of them, they kind of like grew on me. I immediately liked Phoebe because she was just so out there and just did not care. Whatever. Sometimes she would say things, didn't even realize what she was saying. And then sometimes when she'd like would try to make sense, it didn't. So it was just like, no, honey, stick to your strengths.
Writing songs like Smelly Cat. And that's,
Smelly Cat, yeah. That would have been like her mega hit.
Smelly Cat. That's great.
Oh, yeah. And then when they brought in, I'm trying to think, was the episode where they brought in her best friend and they would like tour together. And she was actually in, and I probably should be able to do an IMDb for this, but she was quite a bit self-proclaimed actress in the 80s. And she was in Better Off Dead and she was in Phoebe's Pee Wee's Big Adventure. She could sing. So, to fast forward to now, present time, and being able to see her, you know, and knowing that she had something to do with Phoebe and Smelly Cat and and all this. It was just like, oh my God, she looks the same. She doesn't hasn't aged at all, and she's still singing, because I never saw her in anything else. And it was so sad because I always thought she was such a great actress. But one of my favorite episodes, besides Phoebe, and you know Ross, I always rooted for him, even though I thought Ross was cute. I, you know, he wasn't like drop dead gorgeous like Joey, but you know, he was a hottie in his own right. The fact that he never thought so, I think that brought a level of humbleness to his character. I always thought he was too good for Rachel because she was so pretty much self-absorbed and her, you know, culture where she came from. She was from money and all that stuff. So she managed to tone it down a bit, but she still had that kind of air of pretentiousness about her. Mm-hmm. She carried. But the episode that I liked was when Ross and I can't remember Courtney Cox's character. What was her character's name?
Monica,
thank you. Ross and Monica's grandmother died, and they were trying to find something for the funeral, and he's talking about these Sweet and Low packets that she used to take from the restaurant. And he was looking for something, and he put his hand in like a huge box of them, and they all fell out. And he just grabs a fistful of them, and he's like, "Why? Why?" You know, and you see all these pink little artificial sweetener packets just like everywhere. It was just like, yeah, I don't get that either. But my grandma used to, she had little quirks that she used to do stuff like that. You know, it's just like, well, maybe if I keep a few, you know, I'll save them for later and special occasion or whatever. And then, you know, the special occasion never showed up. So she had a box full of whatever. But that's the best part about Friends. They could be funny. They could be hysterical, but they could be poignant and heartfelt as well. You know, and sometimes those moments, I think, were the ones that kept it going. Because, you know, here you are, you got six people that they all know each other and they all have outside relationships with other people. But these are the core. This is like their family away from their family. And they all know everything about each other, you know, and it's almost like you can't afford to get to not have them there because they know too much about you. So I don't know. You just I can't let you leave. I'll have to kill you because you know all my secrets. Yeah. But
I think one of my favorite Ross episodes was when he was looking. He was trying to get an apartment like in the area of, you know, the mm-hmm. rest of his friends. And
yeah,
they had found out that one that was just across the way that they could have a view of was that was currently uh-huh. inhabited by the naked dude.
Oh yeah.
and so Ross started, like, you know, going down there, and you know he would, you know, go introduce himself, and he's like, "Well, I just wanted to applaud you. I noticed you're naked, and good for you." You know, and then all of a sudden the rest of the friends are like, "Oh, look, naked dude's got a friend," and then, "Oh, it's Ross." So yeah, great episode with Ross there, but the one that I related to is Chandler, the sarcasm. You know, there was one episode where he was talking about where he's his boss comes around, and he goes, "But by the way, do you know how I can get around the company's firewall to get to the really good porn?" And I go, "Chandler, you're so funny." And then he leaves and he goes, "I was serious."
In his Chandler way. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good
Chandler idea. Bing. Chandler Bing.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so my last thought on this one. I did watch it quite often back in the day. But there's no residual effect. Like, I have no desire at all to go back and revisit the show at all.
Me neither. And my daughter just got through watching, I don't know what she was doing in the 90s when she couldn't watch it then. But, she's just like, "Hey, Mom, I'm watching Friends. Did you ever watch that?" And I'm like, mm-hmm.
You know, it's crazy for you to say that, because now that I think that through, you're right. I don't need to revisit it. I know it's on Netflix.
Is it really?
It is, because yeah. That's when my daughter watched all of it.
Huh.
There you go.
And I know it's there, but it's not. I'm watching other shows on Netflix that I've already watched before.
Oh, dude, do you know how many times I've watched The Office?
I've watched West Wing, and now I'm watching The Tudors again. But
oh, nice.
The Friends, I'm not doing it. It's not like
it's weird. There's no draw.
Yeah.
And we have all these great memories of this show, and I listed it as one of my top three. But yet it's going to be – you're right. It's not one I'm bringing up again.
It's very low on the list. Very low. On the replay list.
All right. I'm going to give that one some thought. Thank you, Scott.
Huh. Oh, sure.
All right. So you're up.
I'm up.
You're up. Okay.
So there's a handful of series that were successful. They're very successful. And a few of them really, really jumped out at me. But I knew the first one that I want to talk about, and that is Northern Exposure. I absolutely love this show. I've watched I bought all the DVD sets, the full series sets. I've watched them over and over and over again. You know, sometimes when we're just not doing anything, we'll throw a DVD in. You can't find it on Netflix. It was never released on Netflix. I don't know. There's probably some licensing stuff that goes on there. You can probably find it on Amazon Prime or something. I really haven't looked because I own all the DVDs. I just put a DVD in. And we know which, you know, episodes we like to watch the most. But I just absolutely love this show. It was quirky. It had comedy. It had some serious stuff in it. But it was just a really interesting, like a diving into this cultural experience of Alaska. The wonderful little town of Sicily, Alaska, which is, I believe it's fictional. But overall, this the whole premise, everything about it is just, it was just kind of interesting, you know. This doctor Joel Fleischman, played by Rob Morrow, which it's funny, he did not get top billing, although he is the main character of the whole series. He doesn't get top billing in the cast on IMDb. It's Barry Corbin, who played another Maurice Minifield. Now, I could really go into detail about this show. That's how many times I've seen it. But I absolutely love this. There's some great, great episodes out there. There's one called Spring Break that is rated as the top episode. Like, that's everybody's favorite. And that's true. It's really one of the best episodes out there. And then there's one about Thanksgiving that's really interesting, takes a different take on Thanksgiving, like a Native American take, because there's a lot of Native American influence in this show. Up in Alaska, there's a lot of Native Americans. So it was very centric to that culture. And the take on Thanksgiving is just really from the start of the episode it just goes, and you don't realize that what we used to call the Indians really got screwed, and Thanksgiving is not a celebration for them. So I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, ever watched this show, but that is my pick, and it really is. It may be. It's probably my top three TV series of all time. It's hard to pick between a couple other ones. But I just absolutely love this. I can watch it. I can put the first DVD in and watch the first episode and just binge through the whole series in a matter of weeks. So if I had the time. I don't have the time nowadays to do that, but yeah, I could definitely do it. And my wife feels the same way. She loved the show. We really got into it when it was on. So it's good stuff.
Now, I've got nothing on Northern Exposure.
Really?
I've never seen a single episode.
Oh, man. It's good stuff. It really is. It's very entertaining.
You're selling it to me, though.
And you should start with the first episode, really. The pilot episode it's very important to sets the stage for the rest of the series.
Okay.
All seven seasons. I don't know how they did that, but
that was 1990 to 1995.
Yeah.
Okay, Rose.
Awesome, awesome show.
Rose, you got anything on Northern Exposure?
You know, I watched it briefly. Rob Morrow's character annoyed the hell out of me. So when there was ever anybody else in the scene with them, it was like, yay.
Yeah.
I loved Elaine Miles' character.
Oh yeah. Marilyn.
I'm just going through the cast right now, just picking out people that stood out. Peg Phillips, she was great. Barry Corbin, of course. Very awesome. And John Cullum.
John Corbett, too.
John Corbett, yes.
Yes. Very good but, character in that whole series.
Yeah, he was. He wasn't seen very often, but I honestly can't recall any specific episodes that come to mind. Honestly, oh, yeah. I just may have watched like 5 or 6. But I know I saw it. I'm thinking that Sicily, Alaska, that town is somewhere they based it out of here in Washington, I think.
Yes, it is filmed in Washington. Yeah, a town somewhere. I can't remember where it was, but I looked up all the trivia on it too. Yeah, years like ago, I was just curious about it.
Yeah, so that didn't appeal to me either. Janine Turner, I'd seen her in a few things before, so she was kind of cool. But it was just really odd.
It's a quirky movie. I mean, it's a quirky show.
It is a quirky.
It's got some, it's got some very interesting writing going on. So just unusual. Yeah.
Maybe I would appreciate it more now looking back on it, but I don't know. Like I said, I remember seeing it. Some of it was okay and some of it wasn't. Memorable characters, definitely. Just never followed it through to the end.
That's interesting that neither one of you really were into it. And it was a very popular show back then, too. It's got 8.3 stars out of 10. So
yeah.
And that's 12,600 votes or whatever you want to say on IMDb. It did well.
Well, you know me. I'm not afraid to admit when I haven't seen something that is significant, you know.
Roslyn, Washington. Sorry.
Roslyn, it was filmed? Yeah, mostly. Yeah. Mostly. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Really, it's really a good show.
Yeah.
All right, so if you're saying that Northern Exposure, if I were to pick it up, I've got to watch it from the pilot on.
Well, okay, you can go pilot, and then maybe like a couple episodes right after the pilot just to build the characters a little bit, and then you could skip to Spring Break, which is season 2, episode 5. And I'm not doing that by memory, I swear.
Even though you probably could.
That one's just really funny. It's very creative and well done and interesting and just it's a good one. So you watch the first 2-3 episodes. I got hooked, so I was watching episode after episode because I wanted to see the characters build and where are they going with this different storyline. They keep changing, they keep doing interesting stuff for local culture up there. And so finally, but Spring Break is really, that really is the funniest episode.
Have you checked out Google at all, where it says they was on the Today Show in June that the cast reunion hints at a possible reboot?
Really?
Yeah. They're all in favor of it.
That could be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, most of them don't really have too much. They didn't really go too far other than John Corbett. John Cullum's done a couple of things. Janine Turner's done a couple of things. Barry Corbin's been around forever. I mean, he goes back to War Games, one of my favorite movies of all time. The rest of them really have not done too much. Rob Morrow's done a couple movies here and there. He did a really, really good movie. I cannot remember the name of it, but it was about this guy with Tourette's. Not a comedy. This is a, you know, a serious movie with Tourette's. And he was incredible as an actor with somebody that experienced Tourette's. Brought it out. You know, he was trying to experience it. Oh, man, I wish I could remember. I think it's called Maze. M-A-Z-E.
Okay.
Anyway.
Did you say John Corbett was in War Games?
No, Barry Corbin.
Barry Corbin.
Oh, okay.
I was rattling off the names really fast, so I might have you know, misspoke for a second there.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, Barry Corbin. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was the general, right?
He was the general, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Move us to DEFCON 5.
Good one.
DEFCON 4.
I would trust this pile of microchips further than I can throw it. So, whatever he said. Anyway. All right, so we're going round robin again. Rose, you're up next.
Gosh, I hope I didn't steal anybody's. But, you know, I'm next, so tough it. One of the things, like I said earlier, I don't know if you recorded all my whining and complaining about the 90s, but...
Well, of course we record everything.
Watching shows that my kids like to watch. It's one of these things that moms do to bring you closer together. Unless
don't you do it.
For some
don't
reason.
You do it.
Unless you like a show that they don't like, and then you're trying to get them to like it more, and they kind of don't. So I know. I know what I was going to say, but I don't want Dave to have a cow, so I'll
go. No, go ahead.
Come on.
No,
I want to hear it.
I can't do it. Anyway,
come on,
so
say it.
No, I'm going to my next one.
No.
Anyway.
No.
Yeah.
You can't.
What?
You have to
Why?
Say it.
Say it.
Okay, fine. All right. Fine. And honestly, I thought it was on longer than it was, but it wasn't. It was only on for like 5 or 6 seasons. So whenever my kids are watching TV, when they have the theme song that comes out, how I found out about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
was the
fact that, this is an example.
Oh, okay.
It was the name that I couldn't get my head wrapped around. Teenage what? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. I'll sit down and watch it with you and see what it's all about. Okay, so it's an animated series about turtles that's been turned into kind of human. And there's a rat guy that's their dad, and it's just all crazy. And they like pizza. So it's just like, yeah, I think this is pretty much harmless. So to find out later on, fast forward to the 90s, that there's this new show that's grabbing all the kids' attention that's coming from the Warner Brothers camp. And it's about 3 siblings that been locked in a tower for most of their life. And then they got out, and it's like the theme song. And it's like, you know, it's time for Animaniacs. And there's something, blah, blah, blah. But when he talks about there's baloney in our slacks, and I'm going, what? Who's got baloney in their slacks? It's the song, Mom. It's like, okay, I got to sit down and watch this one. And this show is not for kids.
Really?
It's one of those that come out. And it's like, oh, no, it's got Warner Brothers behind it. So it's kind of for kids, sort of, but not really, because there's so many adult references.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Nurse? Yeah. Hello, nurse.
Hello, nurse.
Put some clothes on, nurse. But, of course, there's Slappy Squirrel. And you remind me of a young Rock Hudson, or whatever she used to say. It was. I still say that to people. I go, but you remind me of a young Gary Busey. I don't know. But nobody ever likes to hear that, by the way. It's like, no, it's when he was Buddy Holly. He was actually
Buddy
okay
Holly,
then.
Great Gary Busey.
Yeah, it's a great Gary Busey. It wasn't the other one. But I'm trying to think. They had it on Netflix for a while. I'm not sure if they still are running it on Netflix. But this was like the perfect escape because each character had its own personality quirk. You know, it was Yakko and Wacko and Dot.
Dot.
Wacko, I think, was the one I liked the most because he sounded like Ringo Starr.
Yeah, see, he talked like this. He kind of had a little bit of an English accent. Lower.
Yes! He just had this like really bizarre. I was like, where did that come from?
Yeah, I don't know, dude.
And, he's like the MC of the trio. You know, he always.
He was like the big brother.
He was the big brother And he would say something, and it was like, well, how? I'm trying to do this thing where he used to do, and he'd be going, he would explain something, he'd be like, I don't know. sure. Yeah, everybody. But, and then of course, Dot was the cute one. And
little
cute sisters that are probably the most vicious out of the three of them.
Oh, but she was evil.
She was evil.
She had some evil things going on. She would mess with them pretty well, mess with everybody. But I will say that in that show, sorry if I'm jumping ahead of you here, Dave, but one of my favorite lines, and this is the point I had the aha moment, where like, oh, this is not a kid's show. They are really, really throwing adult humor out there. I might have mentioned this in a previous podcast to somebody. I think I told this story. Anyway, it was called Polka Dottis.
Yeah, you did tell us that one.
Yeah. So it's Pocahontas, but you know, Dot is Pocahontas, and she meets this handsome guy, and his name is John Smith, and she says, well, she introduces herself, and he says, oh, I'm John Smith, and she says, I bet you tell all the hotel clerks that.
Oh God, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, they were really, and then you had the awesome spin-off of Pinky and the Brain within that Animaniacs.
These little side Buttons and Minzy was that the one with the girl and the dog and
Buttons and Mindy.
That one was okay. Okay, lady. Love you, lady. Goodbye. Call me mommy. Okay, lady. Like, yeah, but you understood why she called her lady because you never saw her. But and then of course the Bernadette Peters character, the fact that she was always singing, I had to mute that one. I love Bernadette Peters. She's a great voice. But
is that Rita and Runt?
Rita and Runt, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Pinky and the Brain, amazing. Slappy Squirrel and her nephew. And there was somebody else in there, too. Well, and you know, it was the Dr. Scratch and Sniff. Is that?
I remember it right too. Wasn't this one that had the pigeons that had like
the good feathers,
like mobsters?
Good feathers,
yeah. Good feathers, yeah.
I want to make sure I didn't blend that with another TV show. So yeah.
No, you got
no.
Right.
You know, it's funny. Animaniacs really was like a flashback of what they used to do with the old Warner Brothers with the Bugs Bunny show, where they would have all these little, you know, mini cartoon shows within the Bugs Bunny family, you know, that whole Bugs Bunny thing. So Animaniacs kind of was Bugs Bunny for the 90s and for adults. And I think they really, really sold it well to the adults to keep the adults interested as well as the kids not, you know, it going right over their head most of the time. This was a good, this is a good pick. And I'm glad you brought it up. It's fun to talk about.
It is fun to talk about. Did I steal yours, Dave? I'm sorry.
No.
You did not. Oh, good. It was a great pick, though.
Oh, good. Because I was freaking out. I was like, oh, no. He's going
to
see
that. I wanted you to continue. I was asking if you did steal my pick. I was like, go ahead. Let's see where it goes. And then see if I can quickly bring up like an alternate. But you didn't take mine, so it's great. But no, I think Animaniacs was a fun show. It was a fun show to watch, even as a young adult. This time it was what, 90? What were we at? 93.
Yeah.
Yeah, 93, 98.
So
I mean, I didn't get to see as much of it like when it was coming in the first time because that didn't play very well when I was overseas. But I mean, it was available, and when I got a chance to see it, I loved it. You know, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And a lot of what you guys were talking about, where you had the adult themed, you know, other stories that were going on, and mm-hmm. you're like, at that time I didn't have kids, so it didn't bug me. You know,
right.
I enjoyed the ride. But now I'm kind of like, you know, if I was watching it with my kids now, I'd be like, waiting to see who's laughing to see who got the joke. And I'd be like, all right, this person needs to talk.
I'm wondering why they got the joke. Yeah.
I need to talk to this person later. Because they shouldn't be laughing yet.
Yeah, you're too young to be laughing at them.
Yeah. So, but at the same time, you know, you're right. It was in the Warner Brothers camp. So you had, it was an homage to Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner, cartoon hour and a half block that was on Saturday mornings, where you had not just Bugs and, you know, Daffy Duck, but then you'd have these side characters and these wonderful stories that, you know, these little side characters would do, where you would, you know, whereas on Bugs Bunny you would have the Ralph the shepherd dog, you know, that was clocking in and out. And then, you know.
Hey, Ralph.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know, and then you move this forward to, and you get Slappy the Squirrel, you know, and, you know, it's the same kind of thing. And it fed into that, you know, for us 80s kids, you know, putting an adult edge to it. And I think they did it really well.
Yeah. I think what they have to offer now, as far as, because I've seen, I don't know if you all seen the more recent Looney Tunes. It's just beyond, you know, Space Jam and all that stuff. But there's actually, they've revamped Looney Tunes to be a bit more modern, a bit more edgy, a bit more social culture aware, that type of thing. And it's atrocious. It is I don't even know who's watching it, to be honest with you, because it's horrible.
Didn't they try to do the same thing with the Muppets?
I haven't really watched the Muppets since it's been a part of the Disney camp, but I don't know. I know that there's been revisions, there's multiple revisions out there.
Well, I'm not talking about the movies, but I know there was a TV show where it was like The Office.
Yeah, I know. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
I haven't seen it yet. Only because I'm just probably just not ready for all the changes. Definitely not ready for Kermit and Miss Piggy not be together.
Need to be together. That's just the way it is.
Yep. So.
Oh, Kermie. Yeah.
Nice. Right,
good
so.
Job. I can't believe you brought up the Muppets from Animaniacs.
Why aren't there so many songs about rainbows? Anyway.
Easy being green, Dave. Okay?
It's not easy being green. all right, so we're on my next pick.
Can I just real quick, there's another quote that I wanted to throw out there that this is...
No, time has elapsed. We're
moving on.
Come
on, no, there's one. No, it's like one sentence.
No, we're moving on.
No.
All right, there's that way.
There's a scene where Yakko is protecting a turkey.
Damn you, Scott.
From a hunter, and the hunter insists, "Give me the bird." Yakko counters with, "We would, but the fox sensors won't allow it." Okay, we can move on now.
You got the laugh. Move on. All right. All right, so we're on my next pick. Yay.
Yeah, yay.
And you started talking cartoons, and I thought, I'm not sure if she's going to take this. Because if you know anything about me, you know that in the late 80s, I became a big uber geek for Batman.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1990s, we got Batman the Animated Series. And
mm-hmm.
this was an extension of more of the Dark Knight. And this was, you know, a version of Batman that you didn't get the campy 66 Batman. You didn't get the Super Friends Batman. You had this menacing, you know, person, vigilante, that was out for justice, you know, mm-hmm. and taking care of his city, Gotham City. And Batman the Animated Series was an extension of, if you took Michael Keaton and you took Tim Burton and you put that in an animated form, and it was just an extension of that. It was an extension of what would become the continuing love affair that I had with this iconic superhero, and this is being Batman. Now, there's a couple things that I've got to say about Batman the Animated Series that are just big throwouts for the 1990s. Kevin mm-hmm. Conroy is by far the best Batman. We've had many different Batmans throughout the years. We've had Michael Keaton, and a lot of people ask me, they go, which one is your favorite movie Batman? But they don't ask me what's my favorite Batman. Kevin Conroy, even though all you get is the voice, was awesome as Batman.
Yeah.
The Joker. Yeah. Luke Skywalker. Mm-hmm. Mark Hamill.
Absolutely. Oh, hands down.
My
easy.
God, he is so awesome as a Joker.
Psychotic.
Yes. You hear it in psychotic. His voice. His voice delivers.
You can.
It.
Yeah.
And it was like,
yeah.
That's Luke Skywalker. I can't believe that. And another yeah. thing that the 1990s Batman animated series brought us that we never had before was the character mm-hmm. Harley Quinn. Did not exist before this cartoon.
Hmm.
So what is now the iconic Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad mm-hmm. and all these things that we've seen that we now see, she didn't mm-hmm. exist before this cartoon.
Right.
She wasn't in the comic book. She wasn't in anything. So it was just a extra character that they threw in one episode where they thought the Joker needs a sidekick like Batman has Robin, and mm-hmm. we're going to make this character, you know, and they're just going to make mm-hmm. her a over-the-top, jovial play on the Joker, and she
right.
became this character all in herself. And
right.
It,
she was a psychiatrist, wasn't she?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that her backstory?
Yeah, she was
when
actually...
When he was at the asylum?
Yeah.
Arkham Asylum.
She was studying all the different psychotic killers in Arkham Asylum, and she got a... just a deep appreciation for the Joker, you know? And,
yeah.
you know, kind of a... became a super fan, if you will, of him. And
yeah.
was open to the suggestions of whatever it is that he wanted to do, you know,
yeah.
and yeah, that was her backstory, and it was just amazing, and it was so,
yeah.
it was fun, you know, and, but like I said, a lot of the characters that were in this, and the way it was done, it was dark, it wasn't campy, and
mm-hmm.
it continued to be the Batman that I appreciated, and it fed into that, you know, through the 90s. Because I think,
right.
where were we at, 92 to 95, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that just helped that. It helped that, and, you know, I was very happy to have a cartoon that I would be able to, you know, watch, you know, more
mm-hmm.
than one occasion. Whenever I got the chance, of course, because, like I said, I was in the Navy at the time and traveling and overseas stuff, so... You don't get easy access to that kind of stuff, but after the fact, you know, I had somebody that gave me the whole collection on, you know, that they had burned from some, you know, illegal site that's, you know, we won't name.
Right.
And, you know, he gave me, like, the whole collection to just watch. And, of course, I had to binge the whole damn thing. I was like, oh, my God, this is awesome. So,
yeah.
You know, because, you know, I got to see some of the episodes that I hadn't seen before. But mm-hmm. there's great backstories in all of the great characters. And I've always been a big fan of his rogues gallery. And I could probably go mm-hmm. on and on and on and on. So, Scott, what are you at with Batman? I was waiting for that. Yes. He was so quiet during that whole thing where I had Rose going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Scott was just like quiet. And I was waiting.
I'm sorry.
You know it's bad when I know what he's talking about.
I like Batman. I get that Batman was a fascination for many, many people. My wife loves Batman. She's a huge fan of the movies. Mostly, you know, the Michael Keaton beginning of the series, of when the movies really made a comeback after, you know, decades after, the TV show. But the animated series, I think I might have seen a commercial for it.
Nothing is what you're saying.
Right. I got absolutely nothing.
Okay, fair enough.
Although I do appreciate that Mark Hamill was the voice of the Joker because he has done some amazing animation voiceovers throughout the years past after his Star Wars. So he's been very involved in a lot of animation stuff.
He participates in the recent Batman Arkham games.
Really?
He's mm-hmm. even still continuing yeah. the voice of the Joker. And so
yeah.
It's like I can't imagine a different voice of the Joker. So if anybody's doing a cartoon or a video game, don't even try it. Just get Markle. Mark.
Markle?
Markle. I don't know why I said that. Sorry. Markle.
Have you been swearing tonight, too?
I've been scotching.
Nice. Scotchy. Scotch. I love scotch. Scotchy, scotch, scotch. Here it goes down.
Belly.
My belly. Yep.
Rose, you were with me on Batman.
I was. And truthfully, I have to be... Well, I have to be truthful because I get in trouble if I'm not.
Rose, that's what we like.
Well, okay.
I'm sorry.
I found...
Hashtag
Aussie. I love you guys. Anyway, so I found out about the Batman series like now. Like within the last couple years, mainly the last year when I went to, I have my middle son, William, and he's always telling me all these different things about stuff that he's into. And he's been talking about the Batman. I'm sure he watched it. I can almost guarantee that he was there at episode one and, later on just, you know, kept following it. It would, correct me if I'm wrong, but ever so I would have like a revision of, or something would happen, like it would be, like they'd make a new one or something, and they would always keep Kevin Conroy?
Kevin Conroy,
always keep
yes.
his voice. Yeah, he's the best of all of them. So when I had the opportunity to go to Comic-Con last year, I think, I learned so much about just comic books in general and comic book series and superheroes and characters and superhero movies and comic book. You know, it was just like a comic book overload. And my son is like, okay, now, in order to understand this person, you have to watch this series. And then in order to understand this, you have to watch this series. And then it was just like, you know, I had spirals for eyes, and it was just so much intake, you know, that now when I hear a reference to it, I'll be like, oh, yes, that's from 1993, and then so-and-so was the voice of Dr. Doom, and, oh, wait a minute, where am I? You know, it was just way too much. Just way too much stuff. So that's cool. I appreciate the fact that you liked or loved, however you want to spin it, the Batman animated series. It has a lot of merit to it because of the fact that it's darker, I think. It's not once again, it's not for, I don't think, children. Like, there's a cutoff age there where it's more like a preteen, kind of a even adult type of watching, because there's blood, there's violence, you know, there's lots of cynicism and things in there because of it. And of course, later on, as the character evolves, you know, into the Dark Knight and all of that, it just gets, I don't say worse, but it gets darker. And then, you know, you got to follow the whole Robin, Dick Grayson, all of that is melded into it, you know, depending on what comic book you're reading. See, I know way too much stuff. So that's just, it's awesome. I did get a chance to see a few episodes. There was like a special one that my son had me watch just recently, where and then he, of course, he talks about something happened and Joker got into Batman's head, and then it was like, I know I'm paraphrasing here only because I only remember bits and pieces, but kind of made him go nuts a little bit. And every time he heard the Joker, all the time, and Joker was like with him, and just hearing Mark Hamill being that mind, you know, that voice in your mind, it was just like, yeah, that would make me go nuts too, because he was really, really good at it, you know. So yeah, so there's a lot of stuff. I think we could probably even do like a show on animated series just specifically for, you know, like Batman and things like that, Superman, and just superhero animated series. There's a ton of them out there.
Yeah, it's just true. We can just devote a specific episode to those particular franchises.
Yeah, because they're just cranking them out all the time. And now with the Justice League, you know, coming, I'm actually looking forward to seeing that, you know, because now they're bringing in, you know, Aquaman and other characters that have long been forgotten. You know, because they, in the comic book series, Aquaman kind of looks like a Ken doll in a way, because he's kind of like way too happy and nice to be, you know? He's like, really? No wonder you never got your own series. But anyway, I'm sure he did. But
the if they bring back the if they bring back the Wonder Twins, I'm all in.
Wonder Twin powers activate, form of a ice cube. Anyway, I don't know.
Well, sphere, one of them can only turn into a form of like some sort of water, and the other one was an animal. Yeah.
One can turn into water, and one can turn into a mammal. So it's just right. Like I remember, like a glass of water and a monkey or something. I don't know. But the dude they got playing Aquaman, the Justice League, is like, I'm telling you, it's like, yes, thank you. Thank you for upgrading Aquaman. All the women in America are like, yes, we appreciate you very much. But yeah, sure. Excellent pick, by the way, Dave.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right, so we're on Scott's pick.
Cool. Yeah. So I'm going to read a couple of the episode names, because I think this will probably give you a little click, little clue of what it is. Truth or Dick. Frozen Dick. Angry Dick. The Dicks They Are A-Changin'. Do I got anything? Anybody? Hello?
Bueller? Bueller? No.
I enjoy being a dick.
Oh,
this is good. You guys don't know. This is funny. There's so many great names in this series. Father Knows Dick, Selfish Dick, See Dick Run. Wow.
I just Googled it just so that I would know, but I honestly never watched that show.
Are you serious?
I am totally serious.
You should watch this show. It's hysterical. John Lithgow is a comedic genius in this show.
So, for the listeners, we're talking about Third Rock from
the Sun. Yes.
Really? Was that the title of those?
Everybody's probably yelling at us through their
phones. Oh, my God.
How come you guys aren't saying this?
So, Dick Solomon is – John Lithgow plays the role of Dick Solomon, who is playing the role of a family. It's Dick, Sally, and Tommy, and oh my gosh, can't remember the other guy's name. Anyway, the
I
four
French, later.
French, yeah, French, right? He's the one that I can't remember the character's name though.
Meaning,
but they hold on. I gotta find out now. Harry, it's Harry.
Harry, yeah.
It's Dick, Sally, Harry, and Tommy. So they're these aliens that come down to Earth and they're supposed to study us, right? And
right.
it is really funny all the way through. It's every episode. So Dick Solomon being the leader, or he plays the role of the father, and Sally's supposed to be his sister, Tommy's supposed to be his son, and Harry's supposed to be another brother or something. But Dick Solomon, it's all about Dick. Jane Curtin is in this series too.
I love the fact that they brought her back.
She's hysterical.
From wherever the hell she was at. I always loved Jane Curtin. I saw her in a few other things, but I love her character in this show.
She's awesome in this show. Just the whole series. Chrissy and I have watched it a couple of times all the way through. It was on Netflix for a while. I don't know if it's still on Netflix. I think they took it off earlier this year. But it is a funny, funny show. And John Lithgow takes a total left turn from his normal acting career, as this serious, you picture John Lithgow as this classically trained actor, and he becomes Dick Solomon on Third Rock from the Sun, and he's a complete goofball and way over the top acting, but he's just the funniest guy. I had a whole new respect for John Lithgow after he started doing that show, and I still watch it and laugh every time I watch the show. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Dave's never seen it. He's looking for the cricket sound effect, aren't you?
No, I am not. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Seriously, you should check it out. It really is funny.
No, I've heard great things about it, but it's like one of those shows I never gave any time to.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know why. I like John Lithgow. So I can't explain it. It's just one of those things where the moments pass, and it's not, if I'm looking for something to binge watch or something like that, that never even enters my mind. So I would say put it on the list.
Really?
I could probably go the rest of my life and not see it.
It's very fun.
Wow. That's harsh.
I'm sorry to say.
That's okay.
But I don't know why, and there's many, many, many movies and TV shows that have been iconic that just passed me by. And for some reason, I just never jumped on the bandwagon. And, everybody's going to get mad at me on this one, but 24. Never seen a single episode.
Me neither.
We started watching that. We watched, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 episodes or something, and just kind of fell off. It didn't stick. So we tried. We did try, though.
And maybe that's a topic for a different episode. Maybe there's shows that are out there that, or movies that are just so iconic, but we never even touched it.
I'm sure I have a few in that I could come up with that people would be surprised that I never saw it.
And you'd be like, really? You never saw that?
Exactly.
And that's how I feel about Third Rock from the Sun. I just know that there's people that are like, really? Where have you been, Dave? Just remember the time frame. Remember what I was doing.
Maybe.
I was overseas, and, it's just one of those things that I never really checked out, and it wasn't readily available, the full time I was in the Navy. I couldn't tell you what duty station I was in, or where I was, was I going on a Westpac cruise at the time? I couldn't tell you, like, when it was predominant. But when I came back, it wasn't one of those things that I was like, oh, I've heard about the show Third Rock from the Sun, I gotta go check it out. It's me making an excuse for, you know, missing yet another, you know, socially, you know, approved big thing. But once again, it is like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be something I'm going to check out. Anyway, Rose.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't think it was something that people are going to condemn you for. I mean, it was different. The premise of the storyline was definitely different. I mean, you know, instead of My Favorite Martian, I mean, I can't remember the premise of My Favorite Martian. Instead of one alien, you got four.
Yeah.
And love Sally. Just totally loves. Because she was a man. And they put her in a woman's body and he hated it.
Exactly.
And then Newman is in it.
Yeah, Newman.
And she's like always like sexual connotations and innuendos with him. And it's just like you're looking at the two of them going, really? No, just don't see it.
And you know who their leader was, right?
Yeah.
That was off planet. No.
Oh, off planet. Okay.
The off planet leader. He was called the Big Giant Head.
Oh, the Big Giant Head, yeah.
The Big Giant Head was William Shatner.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Bill Shatner.
Yes. So, Mr. Priceline.
Priceline, yeah.
Well, he's done other things than that.
Nope, he's only been in Priceline commercials.
No, he's never done anything else. He's only done
Priceline. The William Shatner.
With that chick from
The
Big Bang Theory. So.
He's done other things. He's done other things.
That's actually good because I didn't discover that one until later, too. That was like into the 2000s, and I was like, oh, I wonder what this is.
A Big Bang.
I heard about it, but it wasn't anything struck my fancy, and then just flipping through channels, and go, huh.
Yeah.
I saw John Lithgow, and I went, oh, this might be good, because I like him. I like John Lithgow.
There's quite a few little extra drop-in actors on this show, too. John Cleese was in a few episodes. Anna Gasteyer was in a few episodes from Saturday Night Live. There's a few others in there. Oh, Mike Ditka. Ditka was on there.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Ditka.
In two episodes, yes.
Nice.
I can't remember.
The Bears.
The Krabby Bears. We won't go into sports tonight.
Yeah. No.
All right, we can move on.
Yeah,
we can move on to the next pick.
Yeah, we're actually going way long.
Oh, yeah.
So we're on round three. So that's Rose.
Yay. So I actually pulled out one of my honorable mentions for my last pick. Mainly because I want the rest of them to be honorable mentions instead of like the top three. Because a lot of people will go, what? I don't know what you're talking about. They're going to do that anyway, but I just prefer them to be honorable mentions and be like, oh, that's what you like. Okay. So, if anybody's familiar with Tim Allen, he had quite an interesting show back in the 90s called Home Improvement. And the fact that he and Richard Karn had their own TV show called Tool Time. I don't even understand why that appealed to me, to be honest with you. I mean, the whole family dynamics was great. Patricia Richardson loved her. Jonathan Taylor Thomas. You know, the kids were okay. You know, I don't really go for a whole lot of, like, kid actors. They have to really just, like, smack me in the face to make me want to stand up and pay attention. But when you have a show like this that's unique in its content, and then, of course, you have, you know, Earl Hinman with Wilson. You only see the top half of his face as he's peering over his fence, you know. And then of all they had some really good, funny episodes, but they had some really serious ones too. And they, you know, the parents weren't to me like your typical parents. I mean, they both worked, they both had outside lives, you know, besides their family. So when it came home at night and everybody just kind of gathered together, and, you know, that whole concept is kind of not something I was used to. So as a kid, I didn't have that structure and family. So I always like watching family shows like that, because I always thought something like that was normal. And then my family was weird. So, but you never know. Sometimes just, you know, maybe that was weird and my situation was normal. I don't know. But the show Tool Time to me seemed a little odd, I guess, because it was right in the height of the do-it-yourself era. The 90s was all about DIY, you know, and everybody was like making their own sheds, and they were making their own add-ons to their homes, and they were remodeling their houses and all this stuff. So to base a show around that, that wasn't this old house or, you know, buy me a home or whatever those crappy shows that they had, somebody trying to fix something, never knew what the hell they were doing. You know, it was, to me, it was kind of like a spoof of that. So I thought, oh, this is cool. And so I'd sit there and I'd watch. And of course, Tim Allen was never not going to get the last word. And, you know, Richard Garn, he played the straight man to Tim Allen's acidic humor. So
yeah, because, I mean, Tim Allen's character, Tim Taylor, in the show, yeah, he always, like, bumbled it. Even though he was the host, he was the always one that would always, you know, screw it up and, you know, rewire yeah it incorrectly, that it's going to all of a sudden be a fire explosion. And,
yeah,
you know, it had to be fixed.
Yeah.
And so,
and his counterpart was the one that actually knew what the hell was going on.
Right, exactly.
Most of the time.
Yeah, that was the fun part.
Yeah. So that was a good show. That was a good show to watch and, you know, get into and get your weekly laughs from. And of course, Tim Allen just kind of took off from there and started doing movies. I always thought that, I still say it to this day, but it just depends on which actor it is. Any actor that had a career outside of Disney and then became one of their go-to actors, I always thought it was kind of like a punishment for something that they'd done previously. And then, of course, you know anything about Tim Allen, he was like a coke dealer and a cokehead, and he spent time in jail for drug abuse and distributing and all kinds. I'm like, okay, so that's your punishment. You get to do like 5 or 6 Disney movies, and then you're calling it square. You know, God's going to be like, okay, you've done your penance. You're in purgatory. All right, so you've seen the error of your ways. Now you can go do other stuff. But
really, could there be any other Buzz Lightyear?
No.
Yeah.
Of course not. But see, that's how you do it. That's how you get punished, but you turn and you spin it and you take it into something, you make it into something good. Like when the whole lemonade lemon thing.
Right.
If hand lemons, you make.
So.
What is it Samuel L. Jackson says? When life hands you shit, you make cookies or something. It was a preview in The Hitman and The Bodyguard.
And I was like, Sam.
Yeah, he's like, you can't take human bodily waste and make a food product. Sorry. Anyway, but yeah, lemon's lemonade.
Did you ever watch Tim Allen in Last Man Standing?
I have. Okay. I have. And I love his co-host, his wife, Nancy Travis.
Yeah. Well, what I'm thinking Travis is, because there are a lot of those people that were on that show with him, like Patricia Richardson or what was the boy's name?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
That had been on that show, and then they did like nods to the old show. You know,
yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've done that. It was great.
Yeah, and I loved Home Improvement. And a lot of what I was saying before with Tim Allen being the host, but yet, you know, the bumbling host, you know, and
mm-hmm.
What was fun about him in the 90s was I had appreciation for his stand-up. And mm-hmm. I liked Tim Allen's stand-up act where, you know, he would talk about, you know, and that's where when you start talking, I started grunting. I started,
yeah, I heard you.
Yeah, because that, he did that in a stand-up act where he's talking about, you know, his, you know, that's how men should talk, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, and he starts talking about, you know, rewiring everything. And he's talking about where, you know, where he goes, well, I go to Sears on my terms, you know, the craftsman section. Crafts, yeah. Man, go all pass out that Lady Kenmore crap, you know, and, you know, he's hilarious, absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
And, you know, to take the manly DIY kind of thing and do mm-hmm. a successful career of it as the, you know, either in Home Improvement or a stand-up act, he just did it. Mm-hmm. He nailed it. And it was, oh, yeah. It was a fun ride. It was a fun ride for me. Mm-hmm. Scott, where are you at with Home Improvement?
Oh, I love the show. It was a good time. I loved Wilson. The fact that you only saw his eyes and the bridge of his nose. It was that little tiny tidbit of the show that was on every single episode, I believe. Yeah. Every time he would go out to talk to his neighbor Wilson, you're just dying for them just to show his face. Just once. And it's mm-hmm. it was so funny how intriguing it was to have not knowing what he looked like, really. Although, you know, if you look up the actor, you can find out what he looks like or whatever. But
yeah.
it was really, really a fun show. It's good, clean fun. That's yeah. the way I would wrap it up. It was good, clean yeah. fun. It was family friendly. It was like a sign of the times. There was a lot of things that they talked about that were relevant to the times, but they always put a funny twist on it. And of course, Tim Taylor or whatever he was always funny, you know,
mm-hmm.
even in, as his stand-up routines, like Dave was saying, I had heard a couple of them before this show ever began. And mm-hmm. He's just a funny guy. And yeah, I had heard that he came from a couple of or he had a somewhat sordid lifestyle previously,
mm-hmm.
but he's come a long way. That's for sure.
He has to come out of that. That's a testament in itself. I think he's from Chicago, isn't he?
I believe he is. Yeah, I think he is from that area. Yeah. One of my favorite movies that he ended up doing was Joe Somebody.
Hmm.
Which is where he's this guy that goes to work and he gets bullied by Putty from Seinfeld.
Mm.
One of Elaine's boyfriends throughout the years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He's done a lot of stuff. He does commercials all the time, too.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, he gets bullied at work by this character. And it's just, mm-hmm. it's a fun little show. Fun little movie, but yeah, Tool Time
Tool Time was the show within the show.
right.
Yeah,
but the actual show that was a good time.
Yeah,
good. I remember watching it very often.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I was just trying to find out where Tim was from, and it says Denver, Colorado.
I was
really
Denver. Yeah. I could have sworn the show took place in, like, Michigan, though, right?
That sounds right.
sure, why not?
Yeah, I'm going to sit here and read rather than talk, so let's skip that.
Okay.
Yeah. All
right. So Improvement, that was your third pick, Rose.
Yes, it was.
So my third pick is actually a show that I'm going to be surprised if either one of you have heard of. It's a TV show called Sports Night. Has that got anything?
Nope.
Nothing. Scott?
You're the crickets.
Yeah, I got nothing. Hold on.
All right. So the writer, creator of this thing, Aaron Sorkin. So this is pre-West Wing. So he created this TV series that was based on these guys that create, that are sports anchors for a TV show called Sports Night. And if you want to talk about like West Wing, where you have the ensemble cast and the dialogue moves very quick, that's what this was. And it was just a very well done show. A lot of great things, great actors in it. I mean, Felicity Hoffman, Josh Charles, Peter Cross, even Benson, Robert Guillaume, if I say his name right. And I'm getting dinged all over the place.
Ding ding.
Yeah.
Ding ding.
You guys are thumbs up. What does that mean? Anyway.
You sent the Wender twins a few minutes ago.
Got it. For listeners' sake, so you know what we're talking about, I sent the a pic of the Wonder Twins Activate to both Scott and Rose. Sports Night, you guys don't have anything to contribute, but...
Not a thing.
Yeah. If you like the West Wing, I'd recommend going back and watching this TV show, even though it's, even though it's got a title like Sports Night. Whether you're into sports or not, it's got the same kind of wit and fast-paced dialogue that Aaron Sorkin really made famous. And it's very well written. It's very well done. I was just a fan. I was a fan of the way they interacted with each other and the storylines, even though it's around a fictitious sports TV show, it's one that struggles with their ratings and they've got to find ways to deal with that, but then there's a lot of the interaction with the characters where you've got a love interest thing going on, which is it going to happen, is it not going to happen, and it's just very well done. And so if you're an Aaron Sorkin fan, I recommend it. If you're not, then don't bother.
It looks vaguely familiar looking at the photos. I might have watched some of it, but it didn't stick in my memory. So.
And this is one that I've got the DVDs of. And
oh, really?
I should rewatch.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know.
But there was, unlike you, where... I can't watch it from end to end. There was a part in this series where they bring in William Macy as a person to help them with their ratings. Mm. And for me, that changed things. And so I wasn't that much of a fan after that.
Hmm.
So I kind of checked out after that part of the series. Even though I like him as an actor... But for some reason, it changed the dynamic, and it just wasn't as fun.
Yeah. Okay.
The first few seasons of it, before that happens, love it. And I could watch it over and over again.
This shows there's only two seasons.
Am I remembering how many seasons is wrong? Okay. Let me look.
It was on for 3 years, but only two seasons, it shows in the... on the IMDb page.
All right, well, then you're probably right. I just don't remember when they brought in William Macy.
Ah.
Six episodes. Wow. Okay. So you can actually watch most of it.
See, okay.
That's great how the memory plays on you there.
Yes.
Yep.
It's a lot bigger than you thought.
Yeah, exactly.
You thought it was bigger than it was. Yeah. Got it. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that is Sports Night. Neither one of you have anything to go with that, so we go to Scott's final pick.
Okay. I was really going to go with X-Files, but I got to go with something else. It was short-lived. It came in right at the end of the 90s, and it is about one of our favorite topics, and it takes place in the 80s, and it started in September of 1999. Had 18 episodes, and it is Freaks and Geeks.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
this is one of my we watched like three episodes today, just had it on in the background as we were doing stuff around the house, because it's just so relatable to my age group. You know, it takes place in like 1980-81, and so many of these characters were just, I went to school with these people, you know what I mean? I mean, this really, really captured what I remember from late middle school and early high school. And I just, it's got a great soundtrack. They're always playing some cool tunes in the background, you know, and that was part of the thing. They couldn't release it for a long time on like DVD because of the licensing with the music. I was very, very disappointed when they did not continue this on. After the 18th episode, they called it 1.5 seasons, but it really only shows on IMDb, it says one season, but it was kind of 1.5 because they took like a hiatus for a little while and came back with just 6 more episodes. And I was like crushed when they stopped making this show. I'm like, no way, they can't stop. This is a great, great show. So it's very well written. It's funny, but it's serious. And I was really able to relate to Sam, like one of the main characters, because mm-hmm. I was this dorky little freshman. I was tiny. I was a little guy as a freshman. And in my sophomore year, I finally grew a little bit and, you know, kind of matured some. But I related to Sam so much as a like eighth grader, ninth grader, right there. So it's very relatable, and my wife relates to what would be Sam's sister, Lindsay. You know, she's a very, very smart with math and good in school, but kind of, you know, starts taking decisions that weren't quite school related as much, so more fun related. But it's just overall, I mean, you got to, and look at the cast that was in this thing too. You've got Linda Cardellini, I thought she was really good in that one. James Franco came from that. Seth Rogen came from that. Jason Segel came from that. Joe Flaherty has been around forever. Part of, mm-hmm. you know, forever.
Yeah.
What was it? Second City.
Yeah.
SCTV. And just overall, just a lot of great episodes, and there was only 18 of them. I love every one of them. So anyway, that's my third pick.
So do you watch this on Netflix or something?
Yes, it's on Netflix.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it was.
Cool. And this is something that I think we should all revisit and like break down the episodes, because it's about the 80s and it has so many great 80s references. If you want to go back to the 80s when we do one of our 80s episodes.
So are you saying that we should do a Freaks and Geeks like episode 1, episode 2, episode 3?
We could do something like that, yeah.
Wow, there's an idea. That could be fun.
Yeah, you know, it might not be quite as relatable as for somebody that didn't live through it, but that it's just very relatable to me. And it's, although it's like one, maybe 2 years, it takes maybe 1 or 2 years before I actually got into high school, but just the transition from like the freshman going in as a freshman into high school, it was just, I was a dorky little kid. And just not grown into my body very well yet. So who knows? It's got a lot of great 80s references, though. Especially the clothing.
I would sign up for that. I would sign up for that show.
Okay.
To do that. So,
yeah.
In addition to what we're doing now, of course. But we'll have to talk the mechanics of that.
Okay.
Very cool. It's a very cool pick. I know. I mean, I remember watching it back in the day. I haven't revisited, so now that I know it's on Netflix, I want to revisit it. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe since we talked about this whole concept idea, maybe I wait to revisit it so that, you know, I can watch it and then we do a review of it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. One more thing to entice you a little bit more. It does take place in Michigan, so it's a very Midwest feel, too.
Sure.
So it's got. I know you grew up mostly in down in Florida here, but living in the Midwest, you'll get it. I mean, it's very relatable to that area.
Okay.
So it's fun. You'll like it.
All right, Rose, Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah, I just recently discovered that. Once again, my son William. A couple years ago, it must have just come on Netflix. And he said, there's a show on Netflix, right up your alley. It's all about the 80s. It's called Freaks and Geeks, and it's got like Seth Rogen and Joe Siegel? What's his name?
I just had it in front of me.
James Franco and
Jason Siegel.
Jason, thank you. And he said, I think you'll like it. They're in high school and all this stuff. He says, maybe, you know, some references to music that you like and things like that. So I started watching it. You know, and I'm never really good at promising people that I'm going to watch something. It's like, oh, you got to watch this show. Like, I do the 15-minute rule. Somebody just recently suggested I watch this new show on Netflix called Atypical. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm going to give it the 15-minute rule. And you can allot it all you want, but if I don't like it, I ain't going to watch it.
Mm.
Ended up watching, like, the whole first episode. I'm kind of dodgy on whether I want to see the rest of it. But Freaks and Geeks was actually really cool. I mean, there wasn't a character in there that I didn't like. Even the ones that are like the mean ones.
Yeah.
And I think Sam, to me, was a very pivotal character in that show. And I liked everybody in it. And the fact that they didn't carry it through, you know, to make another season out of it. Kind of, I think it, I'm not sure, did it get caught up in that, was it a writer's strike or something?
Yes, it was part of the writer's strike, and it got bought by, it started on one network, and TBS picked it up. That was when they went on that hiatus, and then came back for six more episodes, and TBS had picked it up for six episodes, but because of the I don't know, whatever happened with that writer's strike? Whatever was going on, it threw them out of whack, and it wasn't able to pick up the momentum that they had initially had. So I was really bummed out because it's so well written. It's just it's so creative and it's such a sign of the times. It's just really well done, and I was just really bummed that it was gone. So that's why I continue to go back and revisit it all the time.
Yeah,
like it's on Netflix and it's on my list. You know, my top list. So every once in a while, just throw a favorite episode on. So,
I was disappointed in how it ended. I told my son, and he's like, "Oh, you were disappointed because you looked at her as you, and you made bad decisions when you were young." I'm like, "What? No, I looked at it as she's wasting her life going some stupid concert." And she should be going and getting a really good education. God, I sound like a mom, don't I? Yeah. Okay, it's probably a good thing it's over. He just had to laugh. He goes, see, I told you.
I mean, and how can you not love Mr. Rosso as the guidance counselor?
Jeez.
Wasn't he awesome?
God.
All right, don't think of me as Mr. Rosso. Let's just rap. Why don't you call me Jeff?
No.
I'm Jeff. I'm Jeff, and you're Lindsay, and we're just going to rap. Yeah, you're going to like that character, Dave. If you actually sit down and watch this show, you're going to like Mr. Rosso. He's a trip.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Good, excellent pick.
We should wrap this up. It's going on 2 hours.
Yeah, actually, that's what I was about to say. I was about to say that I think that even though I know that we have honorable mentions, maybe we save them. We save them. Yeah, we save them for another time.
I'm down with that.
Because we are really going long. It's not because it hasn't been fun. So, let's just let's go there. Let's do that. So, the end of this thing, what I've been trying to say as kind of a go-to thing is, we have a website. It's called BonsaiRetroClub.com. We'd love our listeners to go check that out. Go to the website. There's all of our social media connections are there. And if you want to get more information around, each of us individually, there is a link called Team Bonsai, which is up at the top, and you can see more information on Rose, more information on Scott, more information on me, even a few more of us that are contributing to this whole Bonsai Retro Club concept, which we've got Jill and we've got Chris in there now.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine that's going to grow. The whole idea is just going there, going to the website, and interacting with us. We've got a lot of blog content that we've been putting out there now. So check all that stuff out. That's your gateway to keeping in contact with us. And, go to the Contact Us page and, fill out the, I want to, interact with you guys and say, here's what you said wrong about the 1990s TV shows, or you're upset about Dave because he's never watched Northern Exposure. Go ahead. Throw that out there. Throw that content out there. We want to hear it. We want to hear your what you like, what you don't like about what we said about, what we said in these specific episodes. So we're looking for you to interact with us. That's your vehicle to do it. That's the website that we've given you to do that. So BonsaiRetroClub.com. And so, Rose, what am I forgetting to say?
I don't think you're forgetting to say anything.
Okay. Scott, you got anything?
Yeah. I think you got it, man.
I got it? I'm there? All right.
Yep.
You're there.
All right. So with that, what I'd like to do is just end this with just a simple, very way of saying be excellent to each other. I can't say it any better than Bill and Ted said it. I just want you all to just be nice to each other and do nice things to each other. Appreciate each other. That's my advice.
Exactly.
Cool. Stay groovy, people.
Stay groovy. But then we're doing Ciao. 90s things, so it's slamming. It's a slamming 90s.
Oh, Lordy.
Stay grungy, people.
Stay grungy. There we go.
Nice.
All
right. Have a good whatever.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!